Hi, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Virtualization University. This is session two of a five-part series about Virtualization 101. This session is called Moving from Test to Production. And my name is Dave Payne, and I'll be your instructor today, and happy to join you. And thanks for joining me. You're probably tuning into this session because you've deployed some virtualization, possibly. Maybe you've got it into your test environment, or you have a some initial implementations in place, and you're trying to think through the process of how do I go from this test environment or this initial implementation to a full-out production environment. Or possibly you've already virtualized what we would call your low-hanging fruit systems, right? The low-impact systems that that are fairly easy to virtualize and don't have a great impact if there's a problem, low risk, and you really want to start taking advantage of virtualization to look at your higher-risk systems, those core applications in your environment. Well, we're going to talk through that today about an approach that we can take to really help understand the best way to move into that production environment. So, coming from a consulting and background, I'm really big into methodology, and I think we should take a methodical approach to preparing for a virtualization rollout. So, let me share some of that methodology in a nutshell here. To help you help guide through your implementation yourself. So being really big on planning, and consulting is all about planning, there's a little acronym I like to use that I call it P6, or P to the sixth power. If you can remember this, prior proper planning prevents poor performance. And nothing is worse in an IT implementation than poor performance. So I'll say that one more time. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance. What I really like to stress in preparing for a move from a test implementation or initial implementation to a production implementation is really a lot of planning. And planning needs to be a way of life in a virtual infrastructure in order to be really successful with that. So let's move to the next slide and look at some steps that we're going to take to ensure our success with a production rollout. So essentially what we need to do is design our virtual infrastructure. And there's three components of that, three basic components that we're going to look at. The first is our capacity plan. It's really important to understand how much capacity we need, what our demand is, and how we match that demand up to the capacity or vice versa, and ensure that that capacity is always staying a couple steps ahead of the upcoming demand. Truly, virtualization used as a utility can allow you to move into more of a just-in-time type of a methodology where you're allocating hardware resources just in time for the demand. But if you don't have a good handle on what your demand requirements are or how they're operating, it's really tough to do an efficient just-in-time model. So we'll talk through capacity planning at a high level. We'll talk through servers and storage situations that we need to consider. And then we'll talk about a couple other areas. Migration planning, how do we actually move our physical systems into a virtual environment? Or how do we prepare for new implementations into this virtual environment? And then how do we operationalize, or how do we maintain and manage the nuances of a virtual infrastructure? So let's move right in. The first thing I'd like to talk about is a frame of mind. We've mentioned this in our first session, if you joined us for Server Virtualization 101, and I'll emphasize this again in this, where we really need to change our paradigm of thinking into one of a utility provider. We are IT service providers at this point. And we're providing a service to our end users. We need to make sure we have enough capacity for them, and we need to make sure that capacity performs to their requirements. So with that in mind, one of the basic building blocks of a virtual infrastructure is our compute power, or our servers. And there's been a long debate in the virtualization world, and even in other sectors as well, about do we go with a scale-up methodology or a scale-out methodology? Is it better to go up, large, expensive, kind of monolithic systems where we can get a lot of capacity out of them, but we have a very few of them? Or do we go scale out in a model where we can have a lot of systems that are lower capacity, but we've got extra redundancy by the additional systems there? There's valid arguments on both sides of that spectrum, but one of the interesting things that's happening over the last several years, as Moore's Law continues to deliver the promise of essentially doubling compute power every single year, and the speeds of disk and capacity of disk is increasing, we're seeing that what was traditionally considered a scale-out solution, like maybe a 1U or 2U server with a couple of CPUs, is starting to look a lot more like a scale-up solution. For example, from Dell.com, you can go and order with your credit card a two or four socket CPU that has upwards of 24 cores of CPU power in it and 128 or a quarter terabyte of RAM. 5 years ago, that was unheard of to be accessible to a small business. But today, swipe your credit card and Dell will have that shipped to you in a couple of days. Right? It's amazing the capacity you can have on demand now. So the line between scaling up and scaling out is really blurring. And virtualization is the prime application to take advantage of that. In the past, we wouldn't have applications that could drive hardware like that to their extremes. It's at least not the common folk. But now we can. Virtualization is really that killer app that can ride on top of that hardware and eke out every bit of performance that it has to offer for us. So as we go on the server planning, we're going to want to consider what our capacity requirements are, how much performance do we need, and we always want to make sure that we have a really, call it an N plus one, or we have an extra server laying around, if you will, which simply means we have enough additional capacity in our data center or in our virtual infrastructure that we can handle the ebbs and flows of daily work, and we've got enough spare capacity in case one of our units goes out or if a server tends to die on us. We may only need one server, depending on the size of the organization, but it's best practice to start out with at least two. From there, let's look at storage, right? Storage is a critical component to virtualization, probably the most critical aspect that needs to be considered in the early stages when you're planning a serious production rollout. For this is in an area where, it can provide you tremendous flexibility and performance, but it tends to be fairly static and hard to change. Storage is something that it's much like a foundation of a house. Everything is built on top of that foundation. And if you find a crack in the foundation or you chose the wrong kind of cement or the wrong type of design for your walls, everything has to come back down and be refactored so it can be solid again. Storage is very much that way. And so the things I'd like to advise you to consider as you're looking at a storage implementation is really looking at a SAN for one, right? The shared storage is extremely important. So there's two areas that I really like to focus on in the initial planning stages. The first is raw space. How many gigabytes or megabytes or terabytes will be needed to handle all the data that's going to be stored in this virtual infrastructure? And there's things that we need to consider there. The first one that needs to be considered is RAID overhead. So the amount of space you're going to have available to you is going to be dwarfed by the amount of disk that you're going to have to purchase to provide that space. So we need to protect our disk, right? One of the reasons why storage is so critical is because it's the only moving component inside of your virtual infrastructure, even inside of your data center, right? It's got spindles in it and actuator arms, and they're spinning at 15,000 revolutions per minute. There's a lot of activity going on there, and what can happen is this can easily become the largest bottleneck in your environment. So, and when we're planning for space, we'll consider next the amount of throughput that we need, but in order to provide protection from these moving components, we need to do things like protect it with RAID and redundancy and things of that nature. So first thing to consider is how much RAID overhead is going to be required, and you can discount anywhere from 10 to 50% of your actual purchase space going over to redundancy concerns. The second is going to be the amount of space you might reserve for things like snapshots or duplication of your data. That's often a mechanism that we'll use to provide high availability and quick recovery, but that's also going to consume additional disk space. And the third you want to consider that hasn't had to be considered prior to moving into a virtual infrastructure is the amount of space that the virtual infrastructure itself will consume on the SAN. Good rule of thumb to make sure you have enough space is for every virtual machine that you deploy, you want to reserve at least 2 gigabytes of space for it. Okay. Now let's move into the throughput discussion, because a trap that we often fall into is we buy enough space and we can our spindles are so high capacity these days where maybe we can buy a 1.5 terabyte SATA drive, for example, where we have enough space to satisfy our needs, but we end up falling short on the throughput side. And so the reality is that spindle can only read and write data so fast. And we're really limited by the amount of IOPS, or inputs operations per second, that each spindle has. So another rule of thumb to consider when you're planning this out is every SATA type of drive can handle about 80 to 100 IOs per second. every SCSI-based drive, and those are your fiber channel SCSI, serial attached SCSI, those types of drives are higher performance, and they can handle about 300 IOs per second. So as you do some capacity planning, you're measuring the performance performance demand of your systems out there, really pay attention to the amount of IOs per second that are being generated in your environment. And then add all of those up, try to consider what the peak usage is, and try to add up usage from every single system and how much IO they're consuming, and then make sure for certain that the storage platform that you put in place can handle that maximum or that aggregated throughput in terms of IOs per second. So if we were to deploy, as an example, a SATA-based array with 10 drives in it, and each drive could do 100 IOs per second, we've got a maximum capability of 1,000 IOs, right? If our demand is 2,000 IOs, what we're going to see is it'll continue to function, but those IOs will queue up, the spindles will slow down, and our overall performance will really suffer from that. So the next area that we need to consider in planning out for a production implementation moving from test is what we'd call operationalizing or operationalization, which is a fancy word of saying, how do we manage our environment, right? How do we take this new way of managing our systems called virtual infrastructure, and how do we change the way that we manage things so we can incorporate that? And it's a fairly simple thing to do, but it needs to be thought out. So the first thing to keep in mind is that your staff is probably fairly new to this type of technology, and they need to be trained. They're always asking for training, but this is a situation where it's really important to get the staff trained up on the tools, the techniques, and the management strategies for managing a virtualization environment. The second is our monitoring tools. So often if we have a legacy monitoring environment or no monitoring environment at all, very likely it's not virtualization aware. And there's some specific nuances in a virtual infrastructure that need to be considered from a monitoring perspective. We have an entire new layer inside the data center called the virtual infrastructure layer, the virtualization layer, that needs to be monitored, we need to be alerted on when problems occur there. And that layer gives us tremendous visibility into the infrastructure, but old tools aren't aware of that. The new tools have been really designed to take full advantage of that virtualization layer in addition to the traditional layers that we monitor and manage. The other is the concept of capacity planning. And I keep coming back to this idea that we need to be switching to more of a utility-focused or IT as a service type of methodology to managing our data centers. In order to truly run as a utility, we have to be very diligent about our capacity planning, which means we always need to be aware of where our demand is, how much we're using, and then trying to gauge what the business is going to be consuming in the next period, whatever that might be. It might be over the next month or in the next 6 months or the next year, so that we're budgeting appropriately and able to provide enough capacity so we can service our customers appropriately. The last thing we need to consider in the operationalization of a virtual infrastructure is disaster recovery. Our recovery plans have probably not been updated yet to consider the advantages of virtualization, nor the tricky aspects of that technology. So we'll have an entire session where we're going to discuss this topic in further depth, so please join us for that. That being said, hopefully these tips and tricks will help you be comfortable in preparing and moving to a test initial environment into a full-out production implementation. Truly, many have gone before and been able to really benefit from moving their higher-end applications into virtualization. Tremendous benefits are there to be had in reducing our infrastructure, reducing our cost overhead, and really enhancing the amount of performance and call it business agility from IT. So thanks for joining me for this session called From Test to Production. And I hope you join us again for the next sessions of Server Virtualization 101. Thank you.